We've been talking in the last couple of days about some halachos that are relevant to vacations and the summer months. So one of the things that we confront all the time is the issue of early Shabbos. In the summer months, Shabbos really officially comes in pretty late. And for those of us who have young children or grandchildren in the house, it can become a very difficult time to usher in Shabbos when our children don't want to stay up that late. So many opt to observe early Shabbos and to bring in Shabbos earlier than it is officially supposed to be brought in. And the question then becomes, when do we have a right to bring in early Shabbos? And do we assume that everybody needs to take it in at the same time? Every part of a family unit, are they all considered to be under the same discussion? Or does each member of the family have a right to do it on their own? And specifically, this comes up really if you go to a camp for Shabbos where all they have is one minyan, and they're all considered to be one tzibur and one kehila. Would the halacha change in that situation? Would it be different from, let's say, those of us living in our community here? So let's begin with the following. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch says that on every day of the week, whenever we're supposed to daven Maariv, obviously, you're supposed to daven Maariv after Tzeis HaKochavim, because you have an obligation not only to daven Maariv, but also of Kriya Shema Shachris and Kriya Shema Arvis. And Kriya Shema at night is supposed to be recited after it becomes nightfall. So therefore, number one, on a regular night of the week, you're really supposed to daven Maariv after it already becomes dark. Obviously, we know the Shulchan Aruch writes that you have a right if you are in some kind of extenuating circumstance. Doesn't have to be such a major one. The Shulchan Aruch writes you're able to daven already earlier. And even says the Shulchan Aruch, if you need to, you can daven already starting from Plag HaMincha. Later in the afternoon, you can already begin to daven Maariv. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, even though we would not encourage that on a regular day of the night, unless you have extenuating circumstances, writes the Mishnah Berurah, even if every night of the week you daven at the Zman, on Shabbos, Friday night, if you want to make early Shabbos and you would like to daven early, says the Mishnah Berurah, not a problem at all. You have a right to make early Shabbos and to daven Maariv at that Zman as well, provided that it's after the Zman of Plag HaMincha. However, as we know, the Vilna Gaon very famously puts forth his position where he says, absolutely not, and the Bir Halacha quotes this in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos, that we should do whatever we can to daven Maariv after the Zman, even on Leil Shabbos. We should not daven early any day of the week. We should always wait until after the Zman. And there the Vilna Gaon says, even if it means that I'm going to have to daven Maariv b'yichidus, because I'm in a community where this is the only minyan, and everybody's davening early, and I am the only one who has an interest in davening after the Zman, says the Vilna Gaon, you would prefer to daven b'yichidus at the right time than to daven together with the tzibur when it is before the Zman. That is the discussion, that is the machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Vilna Gaon who came way before him. So what is the practice? We know in America we all generally follow the practice, not all, but our general communities follow the practice that we make early Shabbos and we daven Maariv with the tzibur, even though it's before the Zman of Tzeis HaKochavim, we don't seem to have a problem. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are many communities that are much more careful about this issue. Rabbi Yashav has a tshuva where he writes that he thinks the proper practice in Eretz Yisrael is to do like the Vilna Gaon, and nobody should daven early. You should never take Shabbos in earlier than you're supposed to. Maariv should always wait until the official Zman. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes the same thing, that we should be careful in Eretz Yisrael to all daven Maariv in one uniform time. Okay, it's a big discussion. Here in America, I think most of the time we don't have communities that follow that opinion of the Vilna Gaon because he is outvoted by almost all the Rishonim. And the Mishnah Berurah comes to the conclusion that you're allowed to make early Shabbos and you're allowed to daven early when doing so as well. Now, one of the things we need to think about is, when exactly are we Mekabel Shabbos? What brings Shabbos in? And that is a big discussion amongst the Rishonim. The Rush writes in the second parak of Maseches Shabbos that, contrary to many of our beliefs, Kabbalah Shabbos does not happen when we light the Shabbos candles. That's not when we as a family or we as a community are Mekabel Shabbos. But rather, says the Rush, when we daven Maariv. That is the time when Shabbos comes in. That is the time when we must stop doing Melacha. And says the Rush, V'chein ama devar. Look around the world and you will see, writes the Rush, that we all stop doing Melacha after the Chazan Davins and Shul, after he says Baruch Hu, that's when Malacha stops. Now, the further question is it really Baruch Hu? Is it Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos? Very good question. It's a question of a minute and a half. Is it Mizmar Shir Boi B'Shalom Baruch Hu? But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Samach Gimel that we assume it is certainly not Halakas Neiros. It is rather the davening of Maariv that really is Koveya for everybody when the Zman of Shabbos begins. And he writes that Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos is the time when generally we assume Shabbos has been taken upon herself. Now, if you are the woman who is lighting Shabbos candles on your own, you don't have a right to do malacha after you light the candles. But that does not obligate the rest of the community. So generally, we have an announcement what time lich benching is, what time Shabbos candles are. And we, as the rest of the community, aside from those who are already lighting the candles, we are going to only be mekabel Shabbos once we say Mizmar Shir, once we say Baruch Hu. That is going to be our Kabbalah Shabbos. Now, the Beis Yosef writes there in Hilchos Shabbos that even if you have a yachid, even if you have an individual who goes ahead on Erev Shabbos after Plaga Mincha, and he goes and he davens Mariv early, and nobody in the community has davened yet. Some guy decided, he thought it was the Zman, he's not well enough. Let's say you have somebody, Zechola. He's not well enough to go to Shul. Unfortunately, he has to daven in his house. He got totally mixed up about the Zmanim, and he thought now was the Zman to daven. Now is when the Tzibur is davening in Shul. He goes ahead and he davens Mariv, and it happens not to be the time when everyone else is davening at all. Says the Beis Yosef, if it's after Plaga Mincha, you certainly would already have been Mekabel Shabbos with that Marv alone. That's what the Beis Yosef writes, and in Shulchan Aruch he quotes that Lahalacha as well. Now what happens when you have a Tzibur, Shemispalalim, Marv? What happens if I have a Shul, a community, that all daven Marv together? So the Shulchan Aruch there in Hilchos Shabbos quotes from the Mordechai. Mordechai is one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, one of the Balei HaTosis, and he says that if Rov HaKahal Kiblu Aleihem Es HaShabbos, if most of the community davens at the 6:30 minyan, and they were all Mekabel Shabbos already, even though he says there are a number of families that aren't yet even home from work, there are a number of families who are still in the shower who are not prepared at all to be Mekabel Shabbos, writes the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Mordechai, we assume that the miut, the minority of the community, is nigrar. They are considered to be part of the major part of the community, and therefore we assume that even Baal Karcham, even if I have no interest in being Mekabel Shabbos at 6:30, I haven't gotten home from work, I haven't yet taken a shower, you have no right to do Malacha because the majority of the community has already been Mekabel Shabbos, and that includes you as well. That is what the Shulchan Aruch writes in two different places, both in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, as well as in Siman Reish Tzadi Ches. Very often when they write Reish Tzadi Ches, they write it as Reish Ches Tzadi, because you don't want to say Rotzeach, but it really is Reish Tzadi Ches. That's how you can find it in Hilchos Shabbos, where the Shulchan Aruch writes this very clearly, that Gam HaYachid Nesar B'Malacha. Even an individual who Bal Karcho, who has no interest in being Mekabel Shabbos, he has an obligation to be Mekabel Shabbos along with the Tzibur. And this is extremely relevant when we have, let's say, a bungalow colony where they only have one shul. Or, for example, I was in camp and we only have one minyan. And within the Tchum, there is no other shul where we would ever dream of davening. We all daven in one place. We all consider ourselves part of one kehila. And there is no other minyan. There's no alternative. We assume that whenever the Tzibur themselves say Mizmor Shir or Baruch Hu, that is considered to be the Zman that everyone on this campus who considers themselves a part of this Tzibur must stop doing Malacha. And that is an extremely relevant point to keep in mind. Sometimes you have a bungalow colony where everybody decides they want to daven Mariv, they want to daven Kabbalah Shabbos at 6:30, even though that's not something that everybody agrees to, because there are some people who are going to be coming up late or got stuck in traffic or whatever it might be, but they have to know that because you are a part of a very isolated community, a very small town where all they have is one shul, then we assume that you have to make sure that you are going to be a part of that minyan. Now, the problem becomes, what about in our situation, where we have a community where there are so many shuls and we have so many different minyanim? Or take, for example, you have one shul that has more than one minyan. So in our shul, we have three minyanim every Shabbos, every Friday night. One is going to be, let's say, at 6:30, one is going to be at 7:10, and one is at the Zman, 8 o'clock, or whatever time it is. What do you do about that? So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that we assume that if you have a shul where they have multiple minyanim, you cannot say that once the first minyan davens, now they are koveya for the rest of the community. That certainly is not the case. Because some weeks I daven at 6:30 and some weeks I daven at 8 o'clock, therefore I don't consider myself to be a part of that kehila that davens at 6:30. For now, I'm considered to be a part of a different community. And therefore, says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, just because the first minyan already davened and they're done and they went home, doesn't mean that the second minyan is now already Mekabel Shabbos with the first ones. And therefore, says the Mishneh Berurah, that would be the same in our communities today. Because he says in our town, where we have so many different shuls, and 1 week I daven here, and 1 week I daven there, you don't say that a person is pigeonholed into be considered part of one community. We consider ourselves to be a part of a number of different communities, and therefore we say that they are not able to be Mekabel Shabbos on behalf of the rest of the town. However, some Achronim do point out, let's say I'm the president of this shul, and I daven in this shul every single week, doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter how much it's raining or snowing outside, I always daven in the shul. And in fact, I hate the shul next door. Whatever, some crazy people hate a shul on their block for whatever reason, they get in a fight with them. They would never step foot in the shul, doesn't matter how difficult the conditions are to walk to their regular shul, they don't want to have anything to do with the other one, then you can't play both sides. He can't say, well, my shul daven 6:30, and the other shul that I would never daven in davens at 7 o'clock. You can't say, well, there are two shuls in the neighborhood, so I'm not Mekabel Shabbos yet. No, it doesn't work that way. If this is clearly your kehila, and this is the place where you always daven, and you would never go to the other place, then that is considered to be the kehila that is koveya for you when Shabbos is. Now, most of us don't have that kind of situation. Most of us are happy people, and we're happy to daven here if it's convenient. We're happy to daven there if it's convenient. We don't have such hard feelings toward a specific shul or a specific minyan. And therefore, for most of us, we're pretty safe, because we would assume some weeks when it works out, we daven this time or this place, and some weeks when it works out, we daven that place. But if you happen to be in one of those communities where all they have is one shul, sometimes you go out of town, and all they have is one little shul, and everybody davens together, and there is no other alternative, there is no other option, you are going to be nigrar achar hatzibur. We assume that you go along with them, even if you have no interest in being Mekabel Shabbos yet, because they are being Mekabel Shabbos early. Another mistake that some people make is, well, I'm in Kansas, and I don't use that as a real example, it's just for argument's sake, so I'm in Kansas. And let's say there's a tiny community out in Kansas, only has one shul, and they're all going to daven at 7 o'clock. So, obviously, I'm supposed to be a part of them. So I got a call from a girl who was traveling with friends, and she said, what do you mean? But our family lives in Brooklyn, and my parents aren't Mekabel Shabbos until 8:30, or whatever time it is over here on this side of the globe. So they thought we have at least as long as our parents are going to wait until they're Mekabel Shabbos, and I said that certainly is not the case. You are no longer a part of your community in Brooklyn. Once you've traveled out to Kansas, we assume you're part of that community, and you have to go along with whatever it is that happens there. Now, one issue that the Machzis HaShekel raises is, even if a person doesn't go to shul, he says, you're at home, and the shul is all going to be Mekabel Shabbos at whatever time. He says, you're a part of whatever the shul does as well. If that is the only shul in town, then we assume you're a part of them. Now, the problem with this is, what happens in the following case? The Magen Avraham, let's just try to talk a little in Yana de Yomba. We're in the 3 weeks, and we're going to come upon the 9 days as well. As we know, Rosh Chodesh is later on this week. So the Shaar HaTzion quotes in the name of the Magen Avraham that what happens when you have Shalashudis? Now, why does Shalashudis have to do with this? So we'll see in a minute. During the 9 days, as we know, we have a minhag based on a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Samach, that we're not supposed to eat meat and we're not supposed to drink wine. Big question why that minhag developed and where it came from. Why should it be the case? You can't say, people often mistakenly say that it's because of Avelis. That cannot be true. Because as we know, unfortunately, a person who is in a state of Avelis is allowed to eat meat and is allowed to drink wine. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Lo ivri yayin ela lenachem avelim. The whole reason why wine was created is to help out an avel who is in distress, who is going to get some sort of relief from drinking wine. So you can't say the reason why we don't eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days has to do with avelis. This is a good question why that's the case. Maybe we'll talk some other day. But basically, we know you're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days. That is the common practice in Minhag Ashkenaz. The Sfardim have their own Minhagim, but Minhag Ashkenaz is such that we wait 9 days, we don't have meat, and we don't drink wine. However, as we know, on Shabbos, you're allowed to have meat, you're allowed to drink wine, because it's a Sudas Mitzvah, Shabbos doesn't count, and therefore we know you're allowed to eat as much meat and wine as you would like during the 9 days if it is on Shabbos. However, Magen Avraham says, what if I'm having a long Shalashudas, and I'm having a fleishig shalashudas because I want to get it all in during the 9 days, even though usually my shalashudas is tuna fish and egg salad. But this week, during the 9 days, I'm not going to have meat for a whole week, so I want to make sure I have as much meat and wine as I can. And I'm making my shalashudas go way over this mount of Rabbeinu Tam, and everyone's having a great time, and we're eating all the fleishigs and all the wine, and it's wonderful, says the Magen Avraham. It sounds wonderful. However, he argues, once the tzibur and shul has already daven mariv, then that's the cutoff. Too late. You're not allowed to eat meat, not allowed to drink wine anymore. Shabbos is now officially over. Now that is a very troubling statement. That Magen Avraham sounds very similar to this one when you're Mekabel Shabbos, that you assume once the tzibur is Mekabel Shabbos, so now everything's over. That's the cutoff point. And now the Magid Avraham extends it, and he says it goes in the other direction. During the 9 days, we would assume, once the Tzibur davens Maariv, you're no longer allowed to have meat and wine, even if you're eating in your own home, and you're not together with the Tzibur, you're not in shul, we would say that you are now going to have to go along with whatever it is that they determined is the proper Zman for the end of Shabbos. And that is a major problem. L'chai Adam writes, why would the Magen Avraham say such a thing? After all, he says, what happens on Shabbos afternoon if you have a person, a regular afternoon, a man forgot to put on tefillin one day, and now he realizes, oh, it's almost this man, what am I going to do? You're not allowed to put on tefillin at night. Says the Magen Avraham, what do you do in that case? Writes the Magen Avraham in Siman Lamed, if you do not yet put on your tefillin, he says, Afal Pisha Tzibur Kvar Mispalel, even if the Tzibur already daven Maariv, but it's still daytime. For example, you have a minyan that davens at Plaga Mincha on a regular day, you'd be allowed to go ahead and put on your tefillin, even though the whole Tzibur has already daven Maariv. Why? You should say, Laila loves man tefillin, you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night, and if the Tzibur already determined that now it's Laila, so that means that's the cutoff, it's over. Why don't we say that? And the answer, says the Magen Avraham, is because, since wearing tefillin at night is only a rabbinic prohibition, it's only an Issur d'Rabbanan, therefore he says, we don't say Gerera, we don't say that you go after the rest of the community, when all we're dealing with is something that's only mid-Rabbanan like tefillin. And the question the Chai Adam asks is, if that's true by tefillin, it should certainly be the case by the minig of eating meat and wine during the 9 days. So what that the Tzibur has already daven Maariv and determined that Shabbos is over for them? If we have our own minyan, and we are now going to make our own zman for when we think Shabbos should end, we have a right to extend Shalashudas as long as we want to eat meat and drink wine, and it shouldn't make a difference that the rest of the community has already taken Shabbos out. It's a very strong question, and in fact, the Chai Adam leaves it as a tzarachi, and he thinks it's a big problem in the Magen Avraham that in one place he writes one thing by Hilchos Tefillin, and over here by Hilchos 9 days, he writes something that seems to be a contradictory statement, something interesting to think about. But again, it comes back to this original point of when do we say that a yachid, a individual, becomes part of a community, and when do we say, no, you have a right to stand alone on your own and not really have to go along with whatever decision the community has made for themselves.